Everybody take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read a couple of verses of Scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 5 through 7. 5 through 7. Tonight won't be a long sermon, but it'll be a little bit of an extension of this morning. And a little bit different, kind of like the next step, if you will. And anyways, it kind of builds on this morning, and so hopefully it'll be a blessing. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. And dear Heavenly Father, once again, we beg of you to meet with us. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that hearts will be blessed and that we'll be challenged and just drawn closer to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us as we try and live the Christian life as pleasing to you as possible. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to apply this truth to our lives. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably one of the most famous verses of verse 7 is probably one of the most famous verses of all times. It's short, but at the same point in time, a lot of times it's misunderstood. And basically the First Peter here, the theme of First Peter is suffering, and mostly the suffering of the Savior. And you know, the interesting part about it is that if Christ suffered, and don't be shaken by the fact that we can suffer as well. And it's just basically a fact of life. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 12. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so here's the thing, is Christ is our example. And so if Christ suffered, don't be surprised if we will suffer as well. He left us a perfect illustration of how we should live our life. We will suffer persecution, sometimes by our own mistakes. Sometimes we'll be tried and tested. And suffering is just a part of life. But verse 7, back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible is a great reminder in verse 7 of what we do with suffering. The Bible says cast. Or casting. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting means to take it and throw it, to lay it down, drop it off, rest upon it, set it here. I think about this past week. I was working and I went into some bushes and I started digging, and next thing you know, on my shovel was a snake. And let me tell you, I wasn't going to pet the snake. I wasn't going to hold the snake. I wasn't going to sit there and decide what to do. Let me tell you, I cast that snake. And let me tell you, I chucked that thing as far as I could throw it because I wanted it nowhere near me. And so here's the thing, is casting, I think about finding a snake. You chuck that thing as far as you can throw it. I don't understand people that have them as pets. I don't understand, oh, snake, and they want to pick it up. They're weird. And here's the thing, is I think there's something wrong. Their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. But listen, when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Not just some of it, but all of it. You know, care is basically the same as anxiety. That which troubles you, that which keeps you up at night, that which is heavy upon your heart, that which seems to weigh you down, and you just can't seem to shake. All your anxiety, all your worry, all your care, that's what you do with it. You cast it upon him. You have a decision to make. You can carry your burden, or you can cast your burden. And listen, I tell you what, nobody likes to carry a burden.
I'll never forget, when we were in New Jersey, we stayed at Camp Ora, and we helped with the camp. And Camp Ora was an interesting thing. I've never seen a camp like it in all my life, and I never want to see one again. No, just joking. But anyways, here's the thing is, they had a philosophy that they would run these kids ragged, and they would put them through the ringer, and they would get tired. But you know what happened is a lot of times the kids would take and make tons of decisions. Thursday night was awesome. Around the campfire, everybody would talk about the decisions that they made, and it was a sweet time. But anyways, I'll never forget, I believe it was Wednesday night at about midnight. And no good thing happens at midnight, I'm telling you. And I've been trying to tell this to Lillian for a long time. And, anyways, but here's the thing is that at midnight, they would gather up all the canoes, and they'd gather up some life jackets, and they'd gather up oars. And let me tell you, there was a farmer that had given them permission to go frog gigging. And everybody had their high-power flashlights out. But the crazy part about it is you had to throw everything in a canoe and start walking. And the camp was a big place in and of itself. And so you'd walk all the way the length of the camp to the park in the back. Keep in mind, there was, I believe, 5 soccer fields, and then a basketball court, a tennis court, a playground, all kinds of stuff. This park was huge, and you had to trek across all that park. And then you get to this trail in the park, and you trekked probably the length of the camp and the park down this trail to this farmer's field. You trekked along the farmer's field all the way to this huge pond. And let me tell you, you know, as a counselor, you want to act like you're a big and tough counselor, you know, because let me tell you, everybody loved to tease there just like they love to tease here. And so I'll never forget, man, I tell you what, a canoe starts to get pretty heavy. And you know what? Your arm starts to go numb, and you're switching arms, and then you're switching arms again, and you got a whole bunch of junk in there. And let me tell you, when you're having a struggle, that trek seems forever. And by the way, when you get there, you're like, I can't move my arms to put the canoe in the water. And but anyways, here's the thing: is too many times we're like that. We want to carry our burden rather than cast the burden. And you know what? He has, he will, and he does care for you. He saw the tears that I cried. He sees the tears that I will cry. He saw that a burden that I carried. He sees the burden that I will carry. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You know what? You might be saying, well, I've got anxiety. I've got trouble. I've got fear. I've got perplexities. I've got problems. Right, Miss Lillian? And anyways, I've got heavy things that I carry in my life. Jesus Christ can take it and carry it for you. You don't have to carry it. You can cast it. You don't have to hold on to it. You can lay it down. You don't have to keep it for yourself. You can give it to Jesus. He wants to. And by the way, a little bit of an English lesson. I'm not really the person for an English lesson, but casting, there's an implied you. It is a command. And listen, too many times, I'm strong enough. No, God wants you to cast it. It is a command. If we are carrying those burdens, if we are carrying those heartaches, if we are carrying those things, you know what? We are disobeying God's word. God says, hey, listen, cast your care upon the Lord. You don't have to worry on your own. You don't have to carry that anxiety on your own. And so when it comes to it, we ought not live with worry and anxiety. That is sin. We shouldn't live with fear. We should live by faith. And the Bible talks about greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, this is a simple aspect of faith. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is one of the great faith chapters. And, you know, we can learn a lot from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Continuing on the thought, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, here's the thing: is God wants us to live by faith, and the Bible talks about without faith it is impossible to please Him. And by the way, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Those people that come to Him and say, "God, you know what? I want You to be my strength. God, I want to give You my burdens. I want to give You my fears, all Your anxiety, all You know." I'll never forget. We were at a nursing home service, and we were singing "All Your Anxiety, All Your Care," and this gentleman wheels up in a wheelchair and just wheels up to the front and all of a sudden starts projectile vomiting right at our feet. And the interesting stuff that happens to you in the ministry. But anyways, here's the thing is, listen, you may feel like that wheelchair guy that's wheeling up to Jesus and vomiting at His feet. Hey, but listen, Christ cares. God cares. You know what? You don't have to carry that burden alone. The Bible says, greater love hath this, no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You know what? Christ showed His love on the cross. And by the way, He showed His love. But here's the thing is, you know what? You don't have to worry. You can carry your worry, but you're not living by faith. When you carry your cares, you're not living by faith. When you carry your burdens, you're not living by faith. Faith is not carrying. Faith is casting. Faith is not keeping it. Faith is casting it. You know, living by faith is wholly resting on Jesus. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Faith is casting. And so here's the thing is, everything, every area, every part of life needs to be given to the Lord. Don't let your anxieties consume your life. You know, it's easy to have financial problems consume your life. It's easy to let physical problems consume your life. It's easy to be consumed by family problems. But living that consumed life is not living by faith. The casting life is the faith life. Don't let it control you. It might be cancer. It might be a big bill. It might be a problem with a person. Present your cares to Jesus and say, "Lord, I can't carry this. This burden is too big for me to carry. It's killing me. It's affecting my health. It's all I can think about. You know what? I can't serve You the way I'm supposed to. This is too heavy. I am too weak. Would You take it?" And you know what? He's always there to say, "You know what? I'll help you with your burden." Transfer your load to the Lord. Hannah did it. She had no child. And here's the thing is that she was burdened with the fact that God had not given her a child. And she comes to God and said, "God, here's my burden." And she comes and she makes a vow, and God gave her Samuel. And Paul did it in prison and beating and so much more, shipwreck. God used him. He gave his burden to God, and God was able to use him in a great way. Think about Esther, Queen Esther. And imagine this. She's in the palace, in a great spot, and she's set up for life. And listen, when it come down to it, word was come that the Jews were going to be killed. And the word said, "Listen, you cannot escape it. You will die too. God placed you in this position for such a time as this." And listen, sometimes God places us in positions so that we can be a blessing. Sometimes God places us in situations so that He can be glorified. And listen, Esther was used by God, and excuse me, even though Haman wanted to kill the Jews, Haman got what he deserved because Esther gave it to God. Peter did it. You know what we'll find when we give it to God? He is faithful. He is faithful. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who is to come? The weary, the burdened, the heavy-hearted. Why do we come? Because He'll give us rest. I don't know about you, but I like rest. Here's the thing is, I took a nap this afternoon, and you know what? I was very rested. And sometimes it seems like we need a rest. Sometimes it seems like we go a million miles an hour. If we're trying to serve the Lord, it just seems like one thing right after another. And here's the thing is, the week of revival is awesome. But the week after revival, it seems like I could use a rest and I'm not getting anything because I'm trying to get caught up. And but listen, when it comes down to it, we all like a rest, and sometimes we all need a rest. Now, I tease the young people because sometimes they get a little too much rest. And but that's not what we're talking about. But here's the thing is, what keeps us from coming to God? What keeps us from casting our care upon Him? What keeps us from carrying that load that seems like it weighs us down and it discourages us, it depresses us, it seems like that we just can't move on? What keeps us from casting our care upon Him? One word, pride. It's that same thing that, guys, it keeps us from asking directions when we're lost. And listen, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and will give a grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." I personally believe that there's no mistakes in the Bible. And that God doesn't just throw things in as a happenstance. And I believe that the reason why God put these verses in here ahead of casting our care upon Him is because what keeps us from casting is pride. You know, the thing about it is we know that the first part of revival in a nation is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Do you realize that everything great in the Christian life comes with one of two things? One is humbling or patience. And you know, the thing about it is if we're honest with ourselves, those are some of the two hardest things for the human race to do. And so when it comes down to it, we see that God resisted the proud. I automatically think about, you know, you think about the resistance. Think about Afghanistan. The Taliban is going through and just sweeping through there. You read the news, and it's there. Many Christians are becoming martyrs in Afghanistan. They're just killing them. And here's the thing: is there's a group that say, you know what? We will resist the Taliban. They are dying, but you know what? The thing about it is that they're a part of the resistance. They're resisting. There's a battle. And so here's the thing: is listen though, unlike the Christians in Afghanistan, God is the majority. God can do anything. And I'll be honest with you, the last person that I'd ever want to have resist me is God. And you realize that pride makes us. You know, the thing about it is I talked about this morning, is your view of God is determined by your actions. For instance, the same is true with the police. I'm concerned about the group of people in America that are against the police. Because here's the thing is your actions basically determined your view of the police. If you're a criminal, if you're robbing banks, if you're a bad person, then the thing about it is that, you know what, you're not going to view the police very well. I understand that there are a few corrupt police here and there, but as a whole, you know, they're there for our protection. And so, but the same is true with God. To the humble, God's hand means strength and power. To the humble, God's hand means sovereignty and control. To the humble, God's hand means care and protection. To the humble, God's hand means assurance and confidence. To the humble, God is the person who they love. God is the person who is their strength. God is the person who is their rock and somebody that they cannot live life without. But to the proud, God's mighty hand means something totally different. In some, you'll see and notice that a first little bit is similar. To the proud, God's hand does represent strength and power, and it does represent sovereignty and control. But here's the thing, is to the proud, God's hand represents warning and fear. God's hand represents anger and wrath. God's hand represents judgments and condemnation. How our actions our actions and our thought process determine how we view God. Either we're going to view God as our care and our protection and our assurance and our confidence and our support system, or we're going to view God as the resistance to what we want to do. God's hand means something totally different to the humble as it does the proud. How do you know the difference if you're a humble or a proud person? One casts and one carries. The proud says, only the weak cast. Only the weak come to an old-fashioned altar. Only the weak pray and beg God for help. Only the weak trust in the words and inside the Bible. Only the weak, and here's the thing, is I've heard it from the world. Well, I think those are weak individuals. But you know what? God says, in my strength, or in my weakness, I just lost the verse and I slaughtered it. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so the thing about it is when it comes down to it, you know what? I would rather have God's strength than my strongest day ever. Because listen, God's strength, God can part the Red Sea. God can provide manna from heaven. God can provide clothes that never wear out. God can send fire from heaven. God can take and God can stop time. God can conquer death. And listen, God's weakest day, which I don't believe God has a weakest day, but if there was a weak day for God, that weakest day for God is far greater than the strongest day me and all of my friends can come up with. And so listen, when it comes down to it, the humble says that I cannot carry this burden on my own. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But why do we take and decide that we're going to carry it? Here's the thing, is a lot of us know in our head that we shouldn't carry it. And you know, the thing about it is that sometimes we take and we say we're going to carry it, but we don't. We take and decide I'm going to give it to an old-fashioned altar. But we know we haven't given it to it because that still consumes our life. That's all we can talk about. I think about the boys going fishing. And they get it from their father. Their father doesn't have a whole lot of patience. I don't like fishing. And basically they'll take and they'll cast it out and I'll tell them, you got to leave it there for a little bit. And next thing you know, it's like they're reeling it in to beat the band. And I'm like, listen, it's been out there 2 seconds. And listen, cast it and leave it there. And listen, you know what? Too many times we're like Dallas and Elijah fishing. We cast it out there, we give it to God, and we're reeling it back in just as much as we can. And oh, I need to cast it. You know, here's the thing is, we're like a yo-yo. And listen, we cast it, we pick it up. We cast it, we pick it up. Hey, listen, we need to just cast it and leave it there. And just give it to God. And listen, if we're still talking about it, if it still consumes our life, we haven't cast our burden. And so listen, tonight we have two options, cast or carry. Your decision tonight will determine how you view God. Whether or not God is your steady rock that keeps you firm in the storm. Because storms will happen. It's not a matter of if they'll happen, it's a matter of when they'll happen. Storms will come. Or is God something that is a burden? Oh, I got to go to church again. Your decision tonight will determine how God treats you. Is God going to resist you or I because we're proud? Or is God going to be the stay that we need in that storm? The anchor. Because here's the thing, is without Christ as our anchor, we're just going to be blown around. And I tell you what, just like I was miserable carrying that canoe for all that time, the Christian that decides that they're going to carry their burdens is a lot more miserable. And I tell you what, it seems like too many times we can see it on their face. A lot of times they get out of church. A lot of times they do. Here's the thing is, it's sad to see a Christian who has access to somebody that's willing to carry it, and yet they decide that I'm going to carry it myself. You see, God resists the proud. To the humble that will cast your care, His strength will carry you through. Don't be so proud that you think that you can't cast your burden. Don't be so proud that you can't walk down an old-fashioned altar. Don't be so proud that you can't cast your care upon Him. There's an old-fashioned casting care altar right here in the front, and it can literally change your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for the fact that we can cast our cares upon You. Dear Heavenly Father, it seems like so many times there's so many cares out in this world. There's so many defeated Christians out there. And I really believe that it's because we've failed at casting our cares upon You. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, I pray that we would all decide tonight that whatever burdens, whatever cares, whatever weighs us down, whatever concerns us, whatever consumes us tonight, that we would come to an old-fashioned care-casting altar and give it to You. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would put aside pride. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would have the patience to cast our care upon You and leave it there. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You just do a work in our hearts. Help us to have a right view of You. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You just help us to be in a right relationship with You. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.